We just celebrated the great solemnity of Christ the King, which to a believer is a very joyful and hope-filled celebration. It makes great sense to us to dedicate ourselves to a kingdom that will last forever and to a king who is all-powerful and all-merciful. It makes perfect sense to us. In fact, it encourages us to persevere to have a king like Christ the King. But not everybody has that reaction, as you know. People hear the description that Jesus himself gives, that his kingdom is not of this world, or his kingdom does not belong to this world, and they say, well, then I guess it's not real, or it's not significant to us. It's just a theory or a myth. And if you want to believe in stuff like that, well, that's fine, but it doesn't really have anything practical to do with our life. And you know that kind of mentality, it's very common. So the Feast of Christ the King to a believer is very encouraging. To a non-believer, seems like just another pious diversion. There are people who believe that the only reliable source of knowledge is science, or what can be learned through scientific method, through measurement, observation, and study, and reason. And people who think like that often regard the church as the bastion of what is unscientific or what is anti-science. It might surprise them to find out what great respect the church has for science and for human reason. In fact, so many of the great saints have been advanced in and have advanced human cultures in the fields of science and philosophy and reason and thought. Well, this comes to mind because of today's saint, Saint Catherine of Alexandria, who is described as the patroness of philosophers and preachers. She is a wise woman, a smart woman, a thoughtful woman. Of course, she's wealthy and well-educated, but she, in a sense, thought her way into, more deeply into, the faith. And that's why she was so effective in convincing the philosophers, the leading thinkers of her time, to accept the faith. She became a kind of philosopher evangelist, which for those who were willing to accept her arguments was a great gift. And for those who were opposed to her arguments or didn't accept her philosophy was intolerable. That's why she was martyred. And you know the story of her martyrdom. She wasn't that easy to kill. They tried to kill her and it didn't work. Well, we honor St. Catherine of Alexandria as a saint, not because she's a wise woman or because she's a great philosopher and preacher, but because she's a martyr. She put her everything that she said she believed on the line when her life was threatened, and she remained faithful to it. So she's honored as a virgin martyr of the early church. But there are lots of saints who, like her, are renowned as philosophers, meaning experts in the use of human reason, or you could say science. The first one who comes to mind is probably St. Thomas Aquinas, who's patron saint of philosophers too, and theologians. Or you might think of St. Justin, who was a philosopher before he became a Christian and kind of thought his way into the faith, and there are many others. So today's saint, And this after effects of yesterday's feast day make us think a little bit about the reasonableness of dedicating ourselves to Jesus Christ, our King. And then we come to today's gospel, which is Jesus' praise of a poor widow who puts her whole livelihood, meaning two small coins, into the temple treasury. from the standpoint of those who evaluate everything on the basis of science, they would say this woman is imbalanced. She's unreasonable. She only has two coins left, and she's just giving them away for nothing. They might even point to the real problem that the scribes were living high on the savings of the poor widows. As we know from Mark's version of this gospel, which we read a couple of weeks ago, and the front cover of the Anuam Way has a picture of that very woman putting her, very poor widow, putting her money into the treasury. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we read that passage, the first part of it was Jesus' condemnation of the scribes who live in wealth and in a corrupt fashion, exploit the poor widows and use up their money. And then, right after he said that about the scribes, he said, well, here's a poor widow who is giving her money to the treasury, and she's the hero. Well, in today's gospel, which we read from Luke, it doesn't mention anything about the scribes, but we focus on the poor widow. Is she unreasonable? Is she stupid? Or is she a hero of faith? Is she transcending reason? Well, of course we know, because we understand what Jesus is saying, that this woman is a hero of faith. She's not being unreasonable, she's being super reasonable. She's not clinging to what little she has in the hope that she could live an extra day. She's dedicating everything she has and her whole self to God. The most reliable depository of a soul. So she puts us to shame in her total gift of herself to God. As if she doesn't care whether she lives or dies. She doesn't care whether she has any money or not. What she cares about is love for God. So our first impression of her might be, wow, that's something, or might be smarter, not smarter. But the more you think about a woman like this, the more you realize she's a hero. She's an extraordinarily faith-filled woman. I don't know what she was thinking about how she's going to survive. Maybe she wasn't thinking anything. Maybe her heart was so moved with gratitude and love and faith that she said, God, you have given me everything. I give you everything. A perfect response of love. It's something like marriage. A lot of married people here. You know, marriage is a very foolish thing to do. You give yourself away. You give your whole self to some other person. What a risk. What a foolish risk. And that's what a lot of people think nowadays about marriage. They won't get married because it's going to go bad. It's just a waste of your life. But no, that's how love works, right? I mean, if we understand love, we see why marriage is the highest, on the human level, the highest expression of love. When you love someone, you give yourself to him or to her. And you don't count the cost, and you don't get frightened by the risk, or you don't let your fear of risk stop you, because not only do you want what is good for the person you love, but you recognize that it's good for you to love. But that's what we're made for. Now, in earthly marriage, of course, we're talking about the union of flawed people, and things sometimes they go painfully sour. But that doesn't discount the beauty of love and the holiness of the gift of self. Now, this is a widow. So she had been married, and she lost the one she was married to. She lost her husband. Who knows what grief she experienced, or what loss that was, not only of a companion in life, but of a source of income. Poor widow. And yet she is not living in bitterness about her losses. She is living in generosity and selfless gift. Love. She's a lover. It's amazing. Now, as I said, the scientism mentality, the idea that reason and measurement and observation are the only things that we can use to have knowledge, Well, people like that will look at the book of Revelation and say, oh, this is a crazy book. This is a book full of weirdness and impossibility and strangeness, and what good is it? But in fact, the book of Revelation has lots of images which convey to us this higher way of living, the way of faith and love. And today we have the account of the 144,000. It's a symbolic number, I hope you get that. I mean, it's not 144,000 literally. It's a symbol of a perfect community, of people, a group of people who are 100% given to following the Lamb wherever he goes. Saints, talk about saints. Now, it's true, there have been cults and sects and groups that claim that their way is the only way to be saved, and that, you know, once they get to 144,000, now what do they do? Sometimes these groups, when they're small, they can identify themselves as the perfect ones, or those on the way to perfection. But as they grow, if they get more than 144,000, then they have to change their theology. And the scientists look at that and say, see, that's how cults work. That's how irrationality ruins people's lives. That's not what the reading is about. It's about this purity of self-offering, of what the reading says is this unblemished way of living. Not because they were perfect. They were made perfect. They were ransomed by the blood of the Lamb. They were set free. And now, in their gratitude and love and faith, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So another image of love. Now, it happens that today's Office of Readings had a beautiful passage which is connected to this. This is a reading from St. Leo the Great. It's not chosen for the Feast of St. Catherine, or chosen to go with these thoughts, even Christ the King. But I think it's a good description, or a good reflection on, along these lines, about making a total gift of ourselves to God, or finding the treasure of our lives in God. So this is St. Leo the Great. For the man who loves God, we could say the man or woman who loves God, since we're talking about the poor widow. For the man or woman who loves God, it is sufficient to please the one he loves. This is the way of love. Love is focused on the other, to please the one he loves. And there is no greater recompense to be sought than the loving itself. For love is from God by the very fact that God himself is love. The good and chaste soul is so happy to be filled with him that it desires to take delight in nothing else. Sounds like the widow. She takes delight in God and in giving herself to God. She's happy. She's not reluctantly saying, I've got nothing left and now I might as well just throw this away. She's saying, I'm giving everything I have to God. And she takes delight in nothing else. For what, again, reading from St. Leo the Great, for what the Lord says is very true. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. We always think that, oh, then what's really important to me is where my heart is. Well, what if what's really important to us is God? What if what's really most valuable to us is Christ the King? That's what this poor widow is like. What's most valuable to her is not the money or even her own life, but her connection with God. So where's her treasure? Even before she put the two coins in there, her treasure is with God. That's where her heart is. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. What is a man's treasure but the heaping up of profits and the fruit of his toil? For whatever a man sows, this too will he reap. And each man's gain matches his toil. And where delight and enjoyment are found, there the heart's desire is attached. So where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Naturally, the question is, where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where are you depositing your heart? where are you depositing your life? If it's in keeping for oneself, if it's in self-protection, well then you end up shrinking yourself. But if you are like this poor widow, giving yourself in love, giving yourself to God, opening yourself to a transcendent life and a kingdom that does not fail, then you become greater and greater. Like this poor widow, who in the eyes of the world is a nobody and a nothing, in the eyes of God is a giant, a hero, a saint. So where is our treasure? Let us put our hearts in God. Let us dedicate our hearts to God, find our richness, our life, our future, our security in the Lord God. Oh.